When Nicole, Will, and Sarah Walzer decided to leave high-powered jobs in New York, they returned home to Catawissa in Columbia County and established Winter Spring Sanctuary, a nonprofit dedicated to helping others through equine therapy. Their new journey taught them a lot about themselves, as well as the unspoken bond between humans and horses. Nicole Will takes the story from here.
I had an ex-racehorse named Winter. She was traumatized to a certain extent. I did everything I could to try to connect with her, and we formed a bond. The bond wasn't about riding, which is one of my passions. It was really slowing down and meeting Winter where she was. And sometimes that was racing around me on a lead rope or on a lunge line or in the arena. And sometimes it was just standing peacefully next to me. One of the main things she taught me was that horses have a power way beyond what we want to use them as humans. Humans want to make money off of them. We want to win prizes off of them. We have our own agenda a lot of the time. What she taught me was presence and how to find value in that simpleness.
So she was a traumatized horse. And you just said something that really sparked something in my mind about how they have this intrinsic power to them. So can you explain to me what that power is between the horse and the human?
I think that I would start with the fact that they're prey animals. And they have this awareness where they're very serene and calm. They're out in the pasture. They're in their herd. And you can see when they're relaxed. If something happens and there might be some kind of threat or danger off in the distance, they all evaluate. And they think, okay, you know, you can see them. You can see them kind of assess whether or not they want to flee or if they realize it's a deer and they just go back to grazing. The amazing part about horses is that they don't anticipate the fear before something is there. And directly after, they don't think about the fear that was just there. So they can stay so present with what their reaction and response has to be. For humans, it's hard, right? Like, I can talk about myself. I always think that the other shoe's going to drop. Especially now, there's definitely an underlying anxiety to life. Horses don't operate that way. They respond when they need to respond, and then they go back to that kind of relaxed awareness state. And that is part of being a prey animal, and it's part of being a herd, because the herd gives them that safety. We as humans, as part of the herd, when we are in their pasture, start to regulate with the herd and co-regulate our nervous system so we feel that sense of presence, awareness, responsiveness, and safety.
Sarah, when you are with the horses and they're trying to gather where you're coming from and you're trying to gather where they're coming from, where's that happy meeting point? When do you know that you've connected with them?
I'll start with when you know you haven't connected with them. If you're on your phone getting a text message, if you're in your head worrying about when you need to be at work, worrying about what you're going to wear, thinking about all the other things, that's when you're not connecting with them. The horses will just kind of discard you when you're doing that. But if you put away your phone and are very present and are touching them with like a slow, thoughtful hand, looking at them because you're 100% focused on them, which you really need to be because you're dealing with an animal that's anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 pounds, you need to know where their limbs are and you need to be aware of where they are. So when you actually are aware of that, you will notice that they want to connect with you. And everything kind of slows down. Then you can be hyper aware of their sensitivities to them being touched. You get to really know what this animal is, and you see them as an individual, not just as an animal that's being used for something, and that they each have an individual need. They all have a background they've come from. Maybe it's trauma, maybe they've been used and abused. So there's really that opportunity to connect and see what that horse really is about.
Tell me about the corral. Tell me about what you have there at Winter Spring. How many horses you have and maybe some of their backgrounds. Where do they come from?
There's some beautiful pastures on this private farm. It's about a 40-acre property, and we've been allowed to use, I think it's like a 5-acre pasture. Our horses are Nikki, who is Sarah's horse. She is a
21-year-old mare.
21-year-old mare. We have Teddy, who is, I believe, 26 or 27 years old, also a board member's horse. We have Bella, who is one of our supporters' horses, who also boards there. She is a halflinger, little mare. She's very cute. Not a pony quite, but a little bit taller than a pony. And then my horse, Larry, who is the youngest of the bunch, but is getting trained to be part of the therapy herd. They all are very different. Teddy's this laid-back, gelding dude, man, you know, just kind of like whatever goes. Very easy to get along with. He's the biggest of the herd. And Bella's young, too, and she's a little whippersnapper. She's beautiful, but she is very responsive. And Nikki, I believe Nikki to be our kind of lead mare. She has experience. She can go into something with curiosity and confidence. She can really lead other horses, and in that way, she really can lead humans.
I just love the fact that you're describing the personalities of human beings, too. Except these have four legs.
Yeah, and it's funny because you get taught in horsemanship not to really anthropomorphize them. Like, they are horses. They have different desires and drives than we do. They don't have anxiety low level, hopefully, for, you know, just the state of affairs of the world. Like, they're not thinking that way. Their reaction and response is based off of other things than a human would. But yes, they definitely have individualized personalities.
What you do with these horses in Catawissa is something extraordinary, because you work with people who are going through different types of things in their life, whether it is trauma, whether it is a disability, for example, and that takes a lot of getting used to. What kind of method do you use to acquaint people to the horses and let them feel comfortable knowing that, yes, you can touch this horse, and yes, you can be a part of our world?
What I will say is that we use a model that is all ground-based. There's no riding. If somebody doesn't have any desire to ride horses, this modality can still work for them.
What is the name of the modality?
It's called EGALA, and it's Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association, and it is probably the most well-known of the ground-based psychotherapy with horses. What we need to practice is a licensed mental health professional, an equine specialist. One of them has to be certified in the method of EGALA, and then you have the horses and the clients. So it's a team approach. Everything we do has the therapist who is there to protect the safety of the human, their emotional safety, and then the equine specialist who is there to protect physical safety with the horses and the horse's physical safety as well. So horses will tell you when they are at their max. And sometimes a session can happen in a 20-minute arc and you still have 40 minutes, but it's really up to the equine specialist to make sure that that horse isn't overstimulated, is being treated with respect. We've definitely had experiences where the horses tell us, they're like, okay, this is enough. And amazing, because they've had the connection with the human, so they know that they've had a meaningful interaction, and then they kind of start to check out, or they're looking for their food, or, you know, they're
they've
like
wandered
off in the corner.
Into the corner. Yeah.
Okay, so you have people that are looking out for the horses, people who are looking out for the people. And then you have the meeting between the horse and the individual. And you say sometimes, you know, you might have 40 minutes left and they'll check out after 20 minutes because they had enough. How do you know?
When you spend a lot of time with an animal, and this isn't just specific to horses, dogs or cats, or I'm sure people that hang out with snakes or reptiles, what happens inside of you? Instead of operating with your ego and your id and thinking about you, you start reading them on a different level and you learn their body language. Like, people often ask us, well, the horse, it's wagging its tail. No, horses don't wag their tails like dogs. It's a different body language, right? Horses actually swish their tails when they're annoyed, irritated, showing kind of some, you know, maybe a warning. So it's actually the opposite of a dog wagging its tail. But I mean, again, it's all the time that the equine specialist has spent with their horse, and they learn to read their body language. So it's the same thing if I spent time with you and I get to know you as a person, and I know when you're feeling overwhelmed because you do something that might be different than what Nicole does. And how do I do that? By tapping in, by listening to you, by watching you, by spending time with you. We spend so much time, more than we want to admit, with these horses, but it's so rewarding and we get to know them.
Do you think that sometimes it's better hanging out with the horses than it is with people?
150% of it. No question.
Why?
Because again, say you're hanging out with your spouse or your boss or whatever, you're talking about work or what's for dinner or chores. We don't have to do that when you're hanging out with the horses. You just get to be there and be with them. And it is such a physical experience. So part of it for me, why I enjoy it, is that I get to move my body. I get to be out in the fresh air. I get to do something physical. I get to work on my athleticism. The other part is just tuning in and getting to be present. I mean, it really is like a meditation. Is you're concentrating on your breath, you're regulating your system, you're getting to have a break from all the craziness of the world, and that just feels good. I think it feels good to anybody who's experienced it.
All they have to do is just come up to you and be present with you, and all of a sudden you don't feel as overwhelmed anymore. Am I getting that right?
It's very true. It happens all the time, and horses know our boundaries too, so someone might not want to be touched by the horse, and the horse will know how to read that person. So it sounds really magical and mysterious, and it is. That's the truth of it is. It can't really be explained, but it's also very real. And we see it happen all the time. It happens to us when we're not expecting it and we're well-versed horse people. It happens to people who've never been around horses. It happens to kids that are just going in with that innocence and play, and we see it all the time. It is magical and amazing, and it is actually very real and happens a lot.
Nicole, would you like to add something?
I'd like to also say that the horses challenge us. I think that we can be on the ground where we feel safe, but there is a bit of a challenge to it that you are deciphering when you're in with the horses. As an equine specialist or somebody who loves horses, I may feel like I know what's going on with the horse, but a client that may not have very much experience is being challenged. They're going out into a field potentially with a 1,200-pound animal that they don't know, and they're trusting that we're putting them in a safe place, because we are, and we do a lot to maintain safety for them. But there's definitely been horses that will challenge your boundaries, will say, here, I'm going to be here, and you may not want them to be. And what is interesting about that is that it actually, through the process and through having a mental health professional there too, you can start to maybe understand when your boundaries are being crossed, when you're not putting up your own boundaries. You know, everybody talks about their boundaries, but this is real. The horse may step on your foot. Are you going to just stand there? Or do you not want the horse to be on your foot? But horses, they think you're part of the herd. If you start to be part of their familiarity, they're going to treat you like a horse a little bit. And horses have their own hierarchical dynamics. And they will tell you if they're like, nope, that's not the right spot. You learn to take up space. It can be very helpful for someone who has experienced trauma where they didn't get to make a choice in the matter. This is like a huge natural being that you can tell you want them to respect you. That's a powerful tool as well that horses have, because it could be just getting over the uncomfortableness of being out in a field with boots on instead of in the office with a therapist. Those challenges that may seem kind of slight, they are tools of growth for sure.
Let's talk about the people. Let's talk about the individuals who have come to Winter Spring Sanctuary, and you're seeing them come back. You're seeing them come back to themselves. I mean, I'm sure in the very beginning, there is that panic because they're coming up against something that is huge, much bigger than they are. And maybe they're going through, whether it's grief, whether it is PTSD, they're going through their own stuff. And this horse might be going through their own stuff, seeing them walking on their turf and saying, who is this person? So the meeting of the minds, the meeting of the hearts, how does that work? And what have you seen when it is successful?
We don't force or ask anything of our clients immediately. we can really stand in observation. We can ask questions from distances. We never want to overwhelm or create an instance where we're telling you to do something that you don't want to do. So a lot of the times the sessions start off super slow and from a distance and comfortable zone. Other clients will want to just go right up to the horse and start brushing the hair, and they already are like really excited to be around the horses. So it's totally different depending on who you are. And I will say we are super young, and we have these wonderful therapists that are focused on trauma, PTSD, and ADD, ADHD, eating disorders, anxiety, depression. And so we have this amazing toolkit for people. As we develop and as we offer sessions, we're so excited to kind of create these programs for people who are in need. So we're still at that point where we're coming up with, like, what is the community's need in our area? We won a grant, our first grant last year, for women and girls who are survivors of domestic abuse. That grant money is specifically allocated for people who have gone through domestic violence situations. And we're so excited to offer a free, at no cost, resource to this community. I really would like to take this opportunity to invite people who are listening who may have gone through something like this to reach out to us, because we have resources for you. And if you're interested in booking a session or booking a therapeutic plan, we can talk about it.
You know, when you're talking about therapeutic plans, you're talking about the horses, the care of the horses. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It really is. And mm-hmm. you're young, and this is a brand new nonprofit organization. So, Sarah, how are you doing it?
Well, we are applying for grants. We are doing fundraisers. We are looking for large sponsorships and donors in the community. So we are coming to this with so much energy. And our main goal is to be able to offer these services to all the people that need it in our community. So, yeah, we're learning how to fundraise.
And by doing that, we're actually, you know, talking to sponsors and to funders about what their interest is and what impact they want to make and their passion for the community. So we are really starting to articulate funds and things you can directly contribute to that matter to you. So if you are somebody who really thinks that domestic abuse is something that you want to advocate for the mental health of survivors, then there is a way to donate to us, and that money will go to only the survivors. We've come up with a strategic plan that looks like people who want to get involved can directly impact the people.
Does this include veterinary care too?
There's also the possibility to sponsor horses, which are the most expensive part of our organization. They eat a lot and they're awesome, but they do need vets and farriers and dentists. They are part of that. So we do have the opportunity to sponsor horses for a short amount of time, a year. There's levels for everyone.
For two young women who really love horses and have their own horses, how is it that you came about with this specific structure, opening up a sanctuary for specific things like this? This is intense.
I'll start. Sarah has an idea too. So I'm a recovering alcoholic. I find that in my recovery, I gained a lot of my power because I could find an answer to a certain extent, and it didn't necessarily need to be my defining characteristic, but it was really important that I accepted who I was. And you just learn so much about yourself around horses. There's no other way to say it. And I would say that this structure allows for the most benefit to the most amount of people in the community, because I believe that it doesn't require you to want to ride. It doesn't actually require you to like horses either. This is a challenge. This is a therapeutic process. And if you give it a chance, people will be really pleasantly surprised. I can readjust my point of direction, my compass, towards something that is productive and natural and meaningful by being with the horses.
Nature always has an answer. Always.
Always.
And will never let you down as long as you open up to it. It will help you.
Sarah talked to this already, but if you're too busy and you're around a horse, something's going to happen. like the horse is going to either walk away or the horse is going to be like, no thanks, and, you know, tune out to you. The slowing down is such an important part. Even being in the pasture. I mean, I said it before, but walking out in a pasture that has divots, you know, and is maybe muddy in places, it requires you to pay attention so that you can be safe, but also brings you into the noticing of what is around you.
Natural life that a lot of people don't get to experience in their everyday when they're in their car going to their jobs. And the other thing I wanted to say about Winter Springs Sanctuary and how it kind of came to be is that part of our organization came as with her horse Winter Spring as like an idea for horses that no longer have a job or are used to us to come and live out their days with us and be a therapy horse. So we do consider they are working when they're in a session. We treat it as if they are working, but our ideal goal is to get to a point where we can take in horses that have been discarded from the racetrack or discarded from whatever their use was, maybe no longer rideable, that's to have a desire to come and communicate with humans and be in relation to us. So that's a huge part of raising money at some point is to be able to give these horses a second chance, just like these horses are giving humans a second chance. We find that relationship really meaningful.
Special thanks to Nicole Will, founder of Winter Spring Sanctuary in Catawissa, and Sarah Walzer, founding board member of the nonprofit. Both women have great hope for the future of the sanctuary, the power of equine therapy, and the unspoken bonds created between humans and horses. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.